G'day, I'm Lord Powerslave and welcome to this, the 12th episode of the Destiny Down Under podcast. This week, Mylan and I talk to Gamma Trap. He's an incredibly talented artist. If you've followed Matt's channel, you've definitely seen his work before. We talk about the art of Destiny and what inspired him. We talk about the ESL Destiny competition and all the brouhaha that went along with that. And we talk a little bit about intellectual property theft. So stick around, it's an interesting one. Peace! Hello everyone and welcome to this, the 12th episode of the Destiny Down Under podcast. I am Log, and while it looks like I am here by myself, I assure you that I am not. Matt is here. Mylan, you here? I hope. You're still
here?
How you doing? Yes, he's here. We've had to remove his face because he's become a secret agent. And we all need to forget what he looks like because he's going into the Secret Service. And along with Matt, we have very special guests today, Gamma Trap. How you going, man?
Doing pretty good.
So what the deal is, you'll notice that in one of the boxes is Mylan's logo. That's very attractive and that will stay there and will not change throughout. But below me is kind of a live artwork that Gamma Trap's going to be doing through the course of the episode. It's just vanished. It's just white now. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little bit different. Gamma does, if you haven't encountered him before, he does a whole heap of art on Mylan's lore channel. So yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best point we can kick it off at. So if you want to introduce yourself, man, and cool thumbs up.
My name is Brandon, also known as Gamma Trap, which is just a little artist tag. I've just been doing this art stuff that's that Mylan's been sticking on his videos, and I love doing it. I got started with Destiny because of Mylan, actually. That's kind of cool.
So he roped you into Destiny.
Yeah, man.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. See, I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm a bigger Dark Souls fan than a Destiny fan. I think I told you this before.
You would have had a good time this morning then, watching him struggle through.
Oh my God, I had so much fun. It was incredible. I was laughing too hard.
No sympathy from Gamma Trap. None at all. No sympathy. That's fine.
But I was. Anyway, so I was enjoying Dark Souls a lot, and I was watching Dark Souls lore videos, and that was freaking awesome. And I started watching Bloodborne lore videos, and then that's how I saw some of Matt's earlier Bloodborne lore videos.
And there you go, like, right? Kinda,
yeah.
And I was, no I was, way. Is that what you
yeah,
found?
No. Yeah, no. Yeah.
No way.
See, we all learned something. Even Matt.
Back in the day, right? And so I was like, this guy's not that bad.
He's got kind of a soft little funny accent, son. It's pleasing to my ears, you know?
But it's just...
it's dear. You can come back whenever you like. Just for that accent. Just for the accent.
Then
I never finished that Bloodborne series. I think it only did 5 episodes. And do you know why? Well, now that you've seen like how I play... I'm pretty sure I just stopped that series when I couldn't get past the boss. I was like, nope. Like, I actually can't continue this series unless I do better.
That's exactly what I thought. So many people were hitting roadblocks. I'm like, I wonder how long this lore thing's going to last. And then it stopped. And I was like, okay, I guess he didn't get past that.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We've learned already how Gamma Trap found Mylan, and it'll be the next fucking Notebook. They're gonna make a movie about it. It's a beautiful story, beautiful origin story. So, what are you gonna draw? Have you worked that out yet? If you come to a decision, or are you just gonna whatever springs to mind?
I have an idea, but you guys will just have to wait and see.
All right. Okay. Well,
it's gonna be like Mr. Squiggle.
It's Mr. Squiggle. Yeah. If you want to have it. It's a thumbs up. That's
mic drop masterpiece.
Honestly, I couldn't even draw a thumbs up that good. So
I'm deleting that layer right now.
All right. So I mean, let's do a bit of a quick roundup of everything that's happened over the last week in our lives. Matt, you released a particularly clickbaity video earlier in the week. How did that pan out for you?
Oh my god! But that worried me so much. I was like, no.
It worried you.
Who am I gonna paint for?
Imagine if you had to host a podcast with him and then you wake up and see that. Like, okay, fuck.
Oh, so oh. Let me tell this story.
Oh, what's happened? Yeah, there we go. It's come back.
I'm sure you've seen it. Ironically, it's like my number one video at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is just like,
everyone just getting pissed.
So the title was I Quit Law, and it was obviously a parody about me quitting Destiny. And I thought of it as a way of sort of talking about how I really felt about the channel and how I really felt about the content I was making and how I really felt about how YouTube algorithm was doing things. And for those who don't like have a YouTube channel or haven't done work like this before, it's sort of really scary. It's taken me so long to get to this point, like to even get to the point where people would just watch my content. And I can, you know, make a video. And I know like a bunch of people would watch it. And then when this sort of game gets changed, so to speak, from YouTube's point of view, there was a really big drop in the amount of people that saw my content. People were saying, man, your content never comes out of my feed anymore. I don't see my recommended list. Like, it's not getting anywhere near the promotion. And because I don't make daily videos, it was pretty tough. And it's just such a kick in the balls, really. And I didn't want the video to seem whiny. So that's sort of why I made it a bit of a parody, saying, like, I quit law. And it also had a lot of other things in there that I tried to make comedic, but were really probably true, like insecurities. There's this weird thing that happens when you make content or YouTube, and it's like, I don't know why. It's like, Deej, please notice me, Deej. Deej, please notice me. Please. Like, I don't know why there's this overwhelming, you know, want for approval. You know, you just want... I guess you guys know
for
subscribers and stuff, like you're in chat now, like, please notice me, senpai. Well, it's the same thing. Like, my senpai's Deej, man. Like, you know, and it's sort of like you put so many, literally years of work, and, you know, all you want is a, hey, man, keep up the good work. Do you know, like, that would make such a crazy difference if I got that sort of acknowledgement. To keep doing what I'm doing, or like, hey, I've watched a video, good work, thumbs up. It could be as dumb as that and it would make a tremendous difference. So I sort of went on an avenue to complain about it, and I was sort of really sick and tired of other people in the community making clickbait videos, and like, they just don't even get punished for it. Like, no one cares, and there's like, oh yeah, that's okay. And the ironic thing is, like, this is my most disliked video.
Dude, it was always going to straddle a line. Like, the second that someone realizes that they're not seeing what's in the title, half the people are going to be pissed off from the get go. I thought it was fucking hilarious. Just, you know, that's just me, but that's my level of humor, where people click on something and get something else. So, well, I get it, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you in the whole. I mean, the game has changed in terms of how people are going about trying to keep their YouTube channels afloat. And it is getting a hell of a lot more clickbaity. There's a lot more sulking and crap going on YouTube and all that sort of stuff. But I think the thing that is probably worth remembering, and I'll put it in a musical example, right? Look at a band like, I don't know, no one's heard of this band, but Metallica. And you look at, like, where they were a huge band before they'd even released a film clip. You know, they had several albums out. They were, you know, doing world tours, all that sort of shit. They had a huge fan base. And then they go and they release one, right? They make a video for it, and it is depressing. But no one liked it. They were like, oh, you sold out because you did a film clip. The next album that comes after that is a black album with End of Sandman, all that sort of shit on it. Huge stylistic change, radio-friendly songs, all that sort of thing, you know? Fair enough. They did expand their career. They did, you know, they found new fans, all that sort of stuff, but it come at a price of the core fans sort of going, no, I don't really like it, you know? So I think in the context of your YouTube channel, yeah, people, the more clickbaity they make things, yeah, they're going to get more people looking at it, but the more they'll alienate the people who are originally there to begin with, and will probably be their most staunch support. The danger you have is if you keep being clickbaity, and in the musical sense, there is one band that I would consider to be musical clickbait, you'll end up being fucking Nickelback if you're not careful. And everyone will just be like, you will be the butt of jokes. You know, if you go too far, if you fuck up too much, if you push people that, you know, like, people are constantly clicking on, you know, think they're getting something and it's just nothing. you're going to end up shitting in your own fucking kitchen, so to speak.
Yeah.
Look at the scout rifle. Every
Yeah, sure, why not?
There's a line. There really is a line. And I think, you know, I we've already talked about this before. Like, you need to entice people to want to watch video. Like, there's no doubt that you need to have something. And there's a really fine line between clickbait and delivering content that people want to watch. And that's really, in my mind, the first time I've ever done a clickbait video. But it was really therapeutic for me to get that stuff off my chest and to address it in a more of a comedic fashion. And you know, the support was being crazy. Like, it's got way more, like, it's got a lot more dislikes than it would ever get, but it's also got a crazy ton of likes on there too. And it sort of reminded me that there is a fan base there that want to see my content, and it's given me a little bit of extra boost to make sure I keep doing it as well.
So I'll quote a great man who once told me that when you start getting downvotes, you know that your stuff is reaching a new audience.
Yes.
Yeah. Eat that, Matt. He'll quote you back at you.
That was one of my quotes. I would say to people, downvotes are good. It means your video has reached a larger audience, because people that press the subscribe button are much more likely to upvote or do nothing than they are to downvote. So
this is true.
Maybe that's reached a greater audience. I definitely got a lot more subs from it, so that's insane. So whatever.
I think so. I think it probably has reached a greater audience, and yeah, it's clickbaity and probably more people watched it because of that. But once they're in and they realize, well, hey, this guy's just taking the piss, more or less, and making a point while doing it, then yeah, I mean, I can see why people would want to hang around.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happened last time. This is why I stopped the video comic book. This is why I didn't do it. And that was probably the primer for all this, is, you know, $850, months of work, and that kind of work doesn't suit the YouTube algorithm. Like, this was the perfect example of, like, hey guys, it doesn't matter what level of talent you have, it doesn't matter what level of effort you put into a video, unless you're edgy, it won't be promoted.
And, yeah, exactly. Unless you
ironically,
can.
Ironically, that video took me less than half a morning. And normally it takes me 2 days to make a video, and you know that took. Less before lunchtime, I was finished on it, right? And it got more views. And so it's like this: YouTube doesn't reward content creators for putting effort into videos. It comes down to being edgy on titles. And I think I've got to find that balance between not clickbait and providing you with content that you like to watch, basically.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd err on the side of, as a fan and a friend, saying that do what you do and just concentrate on doing it as well as you can, because at least that way you're never going to push a bridge too far and, like, alienate people over the direction that you're going. Having said that, watching that video and it being funny, I think you've opened up a gateway for yourself. So, you know, people, once you start sort of like, okay, yeah, I do lore videos and that content's still there, but I'm also going to do something a little bit different as well, that's fine. It's when you just stylistically change everything that, that you run the risk. But anyway, what are you drawing, so Gamma? Is it hell? Are you drawing hell?
You have to see.
All right, okay.
Just going to watch.
All right, if I do guess right, you got to tell me though.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can I just let everyone know? So, bottom left hand corner, we've had some people that have joined the stream. Bottom left hand corner is Gamma Trap. This gen, I haven't done a standard lore video in a while, but for months then we had that little piece of custom artwork that you can get in poster format that's been at the very beginning of my intros of the lore videos, and Gamma Trap has been making that for me each week, which is really impressive, by the way, to take a concept, especially since sometimes I don't give him the idea until like Thursday or Friday, and he has 2 days to put it together for Monday. Which is
quick,
awesome.
do it now.
Yeah, but basically, yeah, to come up with concepts and ideas each week and to put them out like that is a really big challenge for artists to do that. And so, yeah, I really appreciate his work, and that's why he's here today.
That's excellent. But said that, and you know, like, I think as a podcast, I like doing different things. I mean, I'm musically minded myself, and I think that there's people in the community that, you know, yeah, of course, Matt and I stream Sloth streams, but to be able to give someone who does something different in the community, in the service of the community, more or less, their, you know, a bit of a platform to hopefully, you know, meet new people and shit, I think that's probably the best thing I can do as part of this podcast. So that's someone walking along looking very forlorn there. It looks pretty grim.
By the way, I've got, if you're watching on YouTube, I do have Gamma Trap's YouTube channel link in the description. If you want to see speed paintings, he's got all the speed paintings of each of them. So, yeah, it's really nifty. And this sort of, like, emphasizes my point before. Like, Gamma Trap is 1,000 times more talented than I am. Like, I mean, this is crazy good. And, like, to get that... thousands of people watching, you know, speed painting, you just wouldn't get there with the way that YouTube is, right? You wouldn't get that kind of
absolutely
following on it. And it's just ridiculous that you're going to have people so talented that just get no love. So that's sort of part of this. Spread the love, man.
Absolutely. So if you're out there, if you're watching now and you do something incredible, let us know, because we're all about sharing the love around. I don't know. Do we want to talk about Destiny now, or...
Yeah, do you
know that, I don't know. I mean, admittedly, it has been a bit quiet, and I've been sort of putting together these run sheets and really scraping the barrel, because there's been no news. You know, we finished the Dawning. What's next? Who knows? I mean, I don't know what the fuck more consoles making videos about for the last 2 weeks, because there's just been nothing. You know, like...
there was... I did watch that, because I was like, I wonder what news is out. There was a little bit. There was job openings for story directors.
I saw that. That was actually where I was going to... My next question was, how did you go with the job application? Have you heard anything back?
By the way, that was a joke. I definitely didn't apply for Bungie's...
What, Matt? Come on. Dare to dream.
Story director.
Dare to dream.
Dream big.
You got to follow your dreams, buddy.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm doing?
You need 5 years. You need 5 years experience in like game development and story direction.
Oh, I mean, look at Donald Trump, man. He's got the most important job in the world. No experience. So fuck.
Yeah, true.
Be the man. Just yeah. Anyway, I saw that. I mean, I guess that's what it was. The gist of it was short term story driven events too, wasn't it? It wasn't like the overarching story. It was more the continuous live events that have, I guess, with the way events are now, they kind of come in and they go and they bear no, like, bearing on the entire overarching story, where I think they're looking to change that and make it a bit more interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, a little bit more open world, I think, with vendors and all the different stuff around them. Zer had some news. So he's got the free coins back right now.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that it's going to rotate.
Spoken about that.
Yeah, that'll rotate. And I mean, I know people were really upset that there wasn't Three of Coins during SRL. And I think it was because of SRL, in that you can go and do effectively a PvP event in 4 minutes and put a Three of Coins on and get like two exotics an hour. If you're lucky, like, you know, I think they deliberately changed that up for that. I mean, I guess it doesn't stop you if you've stockpiled them, but... I mean, I abused the hell out of that, and I'm level 400 now, and I think a lot of people probably would have ranked up and done that out of it.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I really should have done that a little bit more on the Xbox, just the old Xbox, the new account. Okay. Can I just say something about all the Xbox players out there? And this is going to trigger you.
Me? Oh, it's going to trigger me.
Well... It might trigger you. It might trigger everyone.
Okay. What is
it? In comparison to PlayStation, Xbox players, like, teabag 100% more.
Oh, dude.
On PlayStation, I don't think I've ever been teabagged on PlayStation. 2 years of playing. Every single game. Every single game on Xbox, someone teabags me.
Welcome to the big leagues. I don't have any bearing over what's better. I've got no compass. I've never played on a PlayStation, but it is salty, man. It is, like, that's the one thing about, even when I spoke to Danos, we had Danos on a couple of months back now, and he was saying that there's sort of like this whole
the Americans, when they play in the Australian, like getting into Australian fire team, it is just sweat fest over here. It is brutal. And I think, because there's probably arguably less players playing on the Xbox, it is, you know, you being a new Guardian, you're getting thrown in the deep end straight away, in that, you know, there might not be enough new Guardians for you to play with people who are at an appropriate skill level. So, yeah.
Man, yeah. I was getting so angry.
Oh, dude, it's not on. It's shit. It's not something I do unless someone does it to me. But I guess,
yeah.
Oh, maybe I've done it to the wrong person and started a cycle. You know,
it's a never-ending teabag cycle.
This is what you should expect from the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't buy into it. I don't let it piss me off. But I guess I can see that it's probably a pretty douchey thing to be doing. Speaking of douchey things to be doing, have you seen the brouhaha on Twitch today? On Twitch, not Twitch, no. Twitter. Holy what fucking happened? Shit.
It was a Twitter fight, was it? It was a Twitter beef.
Yeah, it was in the red corner we had Gathalion and Broman, and in the blue corner we had the cast of Crucible Radio and Pope Bear and everyone else. Basically what happened, ESL came out and announced that they're doing Destiny competitive play on PlayStation coming up.
Yeah, I saw actually, we can talk about that. I saw a video on that, on the rules of it. Is that
yep,
right?
Yep. So what they did with the rules is they wholesale lifted it from basically the Destiny sweaty community anyway. Dudes like Fallout Plays from the new Planet Destiny podcast. What's the other guy's name? Shit. I forgot. I'll look it up.
Story Machine?
No, not Story Machine. One of the... Oh, fuck, I can't believe I've forgotten that. No, not one of the Planet Destiny guys. Anyway, I'll get it. But basically, they wholesale lifted the rules and gave no credit. And then everyone in the Destiny community, like that community, was like, hang on. Like, you could at least do someone the fucking service of saying, look, we've taken these rules from these guys. And this is, you know, give them credit where it's due. It's effectively what these guys do in our community. They, from the ground up, developed a... You know what the sweat format is and what the
do they run competitions? Is that
yeah? Right? I mean, they've been running informal competitions. ESL is the overarching, like, the biggest professional gaming body in the world, right? They run all of the big comps, some of them with million dollar prize pools, stuff like that. So we're talking a fucking big business, and they came in and basically took what was the established sweat formula from guys who just do it out of love.
Yeah, but who made that sweat formula? Was it Crucible Radio?
It wasn't Crucible Radio. It's guys that they're mates with. I'll, Cognitions.
It was a set group of people.
Yeah, so it's basically, they developed the rule. Far Cognitions, Fallout Players are the two names that I've seen as most associated with it. But
and wait, hold on. I just got to get all the information.
Yeah, yeah.
And that information, were they running competitions with those rules? Or were they just doing it on Twitch and live streaming? And
no, they've had tournaments, man. There was a tournament earlier late last year, I think. You know, they've been basically, even before there was private matches, they were working out ways to have tournaments. It was implemented.
They were running tournaments with those rules.
Yeah, they were using it. They were well documented. They were all you know, all over the place. What's happened is that ESL have come in and just gone, we'll have that. No credit given. The whole community sort of went, well, that's bullshit, and really got stuck into them about it and, you know, blew up. And then they release a thing this morning. Oh, we just wanted to say that, you know, we took this from these guys and put their Twitter handles in it and whatever. And, you know, thanks for the rules. And I don't know why Goth thought he should get involved. But he came out and he's like, oh, I told you shouldn't be worrying about it, and that they'd give him credit and all this. And basically everyone jumped down his throat saying, well, they only did it because everyone backlashed, like, and carried on about it. So the fight ensued from there. And basically Goth's standpoint was like, he came up with the perma-deadstiny idea and everyone used it and he didn't cry about it. But for me, I kind of see it as a different thing, given that if an organization came in and just took his idea and then started running sponsored events with it, I'm pretty sure he would have had a different outtake.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. This is when you add money to the mix.
Yeah.
Like when something's just for the love of the community, there's a different feel, man. And it, you know, it's happened to me too. with the artwork and the Patreons that I'm doing, as soon as you add money to it, it has a different feel when someone lifts that idea without credit. And that's all. And this is the really funny thing, right? You can be talking about a big company, a corporation, and if they just acknowledge it, it wouldn't have happened. Like the issue wouldn't have come up. Isn't that crazy? Just like, hey man, we like your idea and we took it. Thanks for that. We would have avoided this whole shit fight.
Oh, dude, think about that. Like, no, that's not even that. It's not even avoiding a shit fight. It's ESL going to the Destiny community and the top, like, sweaty, really competitive guys and going, okay, is this the rule set you use? Can we use it? We will give you credit. And then doing it. And they come out on the first day of announcing it and say, we've adopted the rule set from these guys, the guys you know that you love that do this already.
Yeah.
And they look like fucking heroes. It's just, and the thing that irked me most about Goth was that he was going on about everyone carrying on and like getting pissed off. He's like, oh, that's bad business. No, it's not. That's just, we talk about private citizens being pissed off by someone. What's bad business is stealing someone's idea and giving them no credit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I understand what Goth's saying as well.
Oh, it's at the end of the day, it's not, like, it's not the end of the world, but...
It's sort of like it was just the wrong attitude. Like it wasn't anything like not illegal, but not even look like close to that, but it just would have been the right thing to do to acknowledge it. And it's sort of the same thing happens on YouTube all the time, right? Like someone takes your idea, someone uses the exact same thumbnail or title. There's nothing technically wrong with that. It's just a douchebag move.
Yeah, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
And for me, like smaller subs, if you're a smaller, you know, a YouTuber or Twitch streamer, you just got to put up with people stealing your shit and stealing your ideas without acknowledgement. That, you know, I know we're getting onto a different topic, but I can see from that point of view now. And for me, if I just bitch about it, it doesn't go anywhere. Unless I quit law. That was my bitching, right?
Yeah.
But I think in the general community, if they stand up for you, that's a different thing as well.
I thought that was a great thing. I mean, the Crucible Radio dudes, they're tied into it. Bones from Crucible Radio has commentated basically a couple of tournaments. Like he's basically doing like commentary and talking about as it's streamed in play, like what's going on, what he thinks people will do, things like that. I've only managed to catch about half an hour of it myself, but I was like, fuck, this is like sport, man. I could sit and watch this. It's a different thing. And I think that it's great. And I think that it's great that people in our community took the initiative to do it. And I just think it's a shame that someone would come along and just assume that they could, you know, walk over the top of that. I mean, fair enough, they are the biggest esports organization in the world, but it's good to see that that's happening. But at the same time, it could have been handled so much better. And to come in and say that, oh, they're right, you're wrong, I don't know, left a bad taste in one particular power slave's mouth. But yeah, I mean, that's the drama of the week.
Gamma Trap, have you had anyone steal your ideas, your artwork without acknowledgement before?
Man, don't go down that road. Aside from Destiny and all these other games, I'm also a big fan of Pokemon, right?
Yep. Never heard of it.
So, yeah, right. I mean, few have, right? I mean, you know, but anyway, of this mythical game and TV series and wildly successful franchise, the Ghost Pokemon Haunter, Ghastly, and Gengar, the evolutionary chain, one of my personal favorites. I painted a shirt design of them ripping through the fabric.
I've seen it. It looks amazing.
Thank you. that one has been sold to thousands upon thousands of people and not from me.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Fuck.
I fucking hate that. Who stole it?
Oh, dude, too many people. Okay, like, what they'll do is they'll go to these websites, kind of like Redbubble and all these other websites where I have my work, and they grab the image, the proof image, watermarked or not, and you can see how lazy some of these guys are. I'm like, could you at least do this a little better? But anyway, they'll grab this image of the work on the shirt, sometimes they'll even have a proof with it without the shirt. And then they'll take it and they'll just do a little bit of Photoshopping, kind of like what I'm doing, you know, all these button presses. And then they'll put it on another shirt and then they'll sell it. And what's funny is that shirt has made some couple people thousands of dollars. And it has my signature at the bottom of the shirt. Like, people get this shit printed and it's got Brandon McKinney on the bottom right there. And I'm kind of laughing.
No, dude, I've already
they're selling them because they're DTG prints, which is a direct-to-garment printing, which is kind of like a regular printer. I go over the paper. It's not being screen printed. It's being just DTG'd, where they just put the shirt on a printer and the print head goes over it and prints on top. And it makes pretty accurate work, but their quality, because they're stealing it, and it's the quality of the work is terrible because they're coming from the internet as opposed to the actual file. And so these people are paying $20, $25, $30 for shirts, hoodies, backpacks, phone covers, whatever else they're printing on, for shit quality. So I'm kind of turning that around a little bit. I got a friend of mine who does also the DTG printing and screen printing and things here, and we're going to just start selling them for like $10.
Dude, just to get them out there. Flood the market with quality.
I've got people in chat right now that want to
buy one. Yeah, that want it. Yeah, so...
How do we...
Will
can you send me the link somewhere and I can post it in chat?
Gammatrap.com, yo.
Gammatrap.com, okay. I've got to get it now.
Get on there, people, please. Support me.
But there's it's a shirt. You go to the shirts page. It's you go to gallery.
Dude, I'm going to look at... I remember seeing that. It was gangster, man. I'm going to buy one myself. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, bro.
is no one going to call up the fact that the fucking lore dude among us just said something's gangster?
That's the first time I've ever heard you say. You know what, Mylan, this is an unprecedented event. Could you say that one more time, and so we can have it on the record, let the record show that Mylan, the professional PhD learning kind of guy, just said, quote, gangster.
Gangster.
Gangster. Wait, hang on.
There it is. There it was. You all heard it. Everyone at home is quivering.
Gangster.
Oh, wow.
Actually, you know what? Because I got this screen sharing thing, I actually probably show y'all if you want to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can talk about Miley being gangster now, it's pretty cool. It's really cool.
I mean, I guess in context, like, that makes someone stealing, like, rules that no one could really monetize. Seem pretty silly when, you know, it's the same premise, stealing someone's intellectual property, but it's pretty filthy, man. I guess the internet, it's always going to be rife with that. It sucks. Yeah. I mean, there's even things that I've thought, like,
people make websites using all my content before.
Oh yeah,
that. What about the guy? Remember the guy that made your video and just overdubbed it in Spanish or whatever it was?
Dude, I'm pretty sure he did another one.
Oh, well. We're coming for you, you motherfucker, wherever you are. I'm gonna come and hit you in the head with a fucking guitar. That's my thing. In that, like, there we go.
There we go.
Dude,
oh, come
that
on.
That is so cool. I can't believe that.
That is the coolest shit.
You telling me I can get that for $10? Or that's what you're gonna do?
That's the plan. Right now, I'm printing it for, sadly, the same fucking price the assholes are. But it's coming from me, and it's much better quality.
Yep.
So that money goes to me to make better shit like this.
Yeah.
Do you do request shirts?
All the time, man.
Can you do one with an Australian dude on it?
I totally would, but
Lore gangster.
The thing is,
Lore gangster.
Okay, wait. Now I was about to turn you down out of lulls, but actually that actually sounds fucking good. I'm gonna put Mylan Games.
Lore gangster.
Like thrown up signs. You know, with some shades on, deal with it, shades, right?
Pixelated. Just in a real, like, graffiti style.
Yeah.
All right, let's stop picking on him now.
Guys, I already had enough picking on me this morning with the Dark Souls stream.
Yeah, no, you've faced enough. It's okay. We'll move on. That is, it's filthy, but, and I guess, people with streaming and whatnot, people are always piggybacking off each other's ideas and that. And I guess that's how people learn. But at the same time, if you don't give credit and you don't, you know, at least support the person whose shoulders you're standing on, that's pretty rough. Pretty rough.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's just, you know what? While we're on this train of, this is the last thing I'll say.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Okay.
This is the last thing I'll say. If you're going to give credit, don't put it in the last 10 seconds of the video.
Yeah.
You dirty, dirty people.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on YouTube, you've got YouTube analytics, you know that like only 5% of people get to that last 10 seconds. Like no one makes it to 10 seconds. Watch a video and see how long you get through it. Like you won't watch the whole video. And I think that is also a slime ball move. I think if you've got an idea from someone, if someone's helped you out, you acknowledge them in the first 30 seconds of video. That is the proper way to do an acknowledgement.
I agree.
Gangster.
Bitch.
It just doesn't work, man. It's not the same.
No, it's not. Move, I was trying to do my own thing just to take a bit of the heat off Matt, but no, it's all you, buddy. It's all you.
Bitch.
So I guess having someone so well versed in art here, I thought we'd cover a few topics that normally, that we normally wouldn't broach. I mean, Matt's obviously heavily invested in the story. I am just kind of a guy who takes everything at face value, and I learned through osmosis of being near Matt so much. That's really where it's at. But I guess if we're going to talk about the art of Destiny, and it is, for better or worse, it does draw from a lot of different places. What about the art of Destiny initially sort of captured your imagination or drew you in? Like, what was the first image that you saw of it, or whatever, in a visual context that really caught your imagination?
Well, for starters, it was the gameplay that went really artistic side. It was, you know, Bungie just made this awesome Halo thing, right? And it's been riding for a while.
Yeah.
And then they came out with this freaking Led Zeppelin jumping through a crater, and I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I didn't get into it then. I was like, I'll see what happens, and I was like, ah, suckers. And then, because of the vanilla, everyone was like, God damn it! I had high hopes.
Gotcha.
I had the hope. Yeah. It's like that one guy with the fish. Oh, almost got it. But then later on, I started seeing a little more positive vibes. I'm not drawn while I'm talking here. And I got a couple cool like books that have various concept artists and world builders for games, and that what they'll do is they'll go through and they'll create a setting, and they'll kind of like how I made the SIVA, not SIVA, Rise of Iron Blizzard one with Lord Saladin. Not sure if everyone's seen that.
Yep.
But yeah, they would make a setting like that, and they would try and help it tell a story and get everyone else in the feel on the team, to sort of feel what to do. And the art team kind of goes back and forth a lot with that. But a lot of the times their artists will have their own personal stuff, because people in the industry that do this stuff, if they have any time to themselves, which they don't, they'll still be painting. Like they'll paint at work for like 12 hours a day during crunch, and then they'll go home, and if they can't sleep, they'll paint some more. And I was like, it's like the one track mind, but so many tracks. Anyway, so I saw this picture of like this jungle with mountains in the background and blue lava coming down and robots stomping through a ruin. And something about that was just so, as for lack of a better word, clean. I mean, it looked realistic and still artistic. And that picture was like my background for the longest time. And I never even touched the game. I still thought people were idiots for getting it. So, then, I mean, you guys are great, Noam.
The game you play is dumb.
Yeah, but I think that's okay. I think you can appreciate Destiny. I mean, it's like the lore videos. You can appreciate it without playing it.
Yeah, I think so too.
So then people kept talking about it. They kept getting expansions, and I saw the live-action trailer for Taken King. And then I saw Mylan do a thing about orcs and the Book of Sorrows and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, fuck it, shit. All right. So I got it. And then getting into the game, it was really, really cool because I don't think I'm the only one, but I think I'm a small margin who would sit there and wait like the 12, 13, 18 hours it took to install all the patches and shit after install and just watch the pictures go by. Cause there was one with like a ship that was like crashed and had like the grass and stuff. And I was,
it was all the concept there, like, that was cool.
Yeah. I was looking, I was like, I was going to paint something like that the other day. Fuckers. But then in getting in the game, it was really expansive. And I've been watching Mylan stuff for a while, and you're experiencing Mylan, by the way, when you're streaming your lore throughs, you're experiencing pretty much exactly what I was experiencing. Like I'd already watched a few of your videos, and from what I've seen of what you've made, I'd be like, I know what that is. I know what that is. My hand was raised, right? My girl was sitting there like, you know, playing some other game. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, that right there. That's I would be like, that's the fucking Vex with the mate. And
Well, that's the thing, right? When you have a little bit of the background of the story, when you understand a little bit of the Grimoire cards, the playthroughs are completely different. Like, the story actually makes sense, and it's weird because I love the fact that information is hidden in the Grimoire cards. So like, with Destiny 2, how do you give people that backstory and that information so they can appreciate and continue in the game, but also make it hidden enough so you feel like you're discovering things as you come along? Like, it is a tough one to do. I don't know how you do that and how you keep... I mean, Dark Souls does it, I guess, right? With the item descriptions.
I think...
Dark Souls gives you nothing.
To offer my own personal and naive take on all of that, the longer it goes on and the longer Destiny goes on, the more inclined I believe that they got it right. Because when you think about it, the sort of mini industry that spawned just because they refused to explain everything itself. I mean, you know, like if they did everything really well, would Matt's channel be where it is? Probably not.
No.
You know?
Yeah, probably not.
And I don't think they're going to all of a sudden go, oh, we need to just do this better ourselves. I think maybe, I mean, there could probably be a better interface between where you find the information. You know, the YouTubers that they, you know, I mean, they could effectively endorse people to go and make videos discussing this shit. But, I don't know. I mean, I think the way it is now is that, you know, you get out of it. And, I mean, like, think back to when Destiny first was played through and everyone's like, oh, there's no story. Oh, it's, you know, this game's shit.
I was like, buying the game and the guy was like, what are you getting that for? I was like, I'm going to play the goddamn game. And they're like, why? Are you a PvP-er? I was like, no, man. It's, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and like, oh, but like, now that you look back and you're like, everything was already fucking there. Like, 90% of the shit we're talking about now was fucking already there. The whole universe was already there. But you were just too stupid to see it because guess what? They didn't shove it down your throat like fucking Call of Duty does.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like...
It's being lazy. Just didn't look it up. It's sad. Like, hey, you unlocked the Grimoire card for so-and-so. And they were like, whatever.
Dude, I'll put it in a musical context, right? I'll put it in the musical context because that's how I deal with life.
Yeah.
Destiny is akin to a band that I happen to love dearly and am also wearing their shirt right now. Iron Maiden, you know, like their songs are about anything and everything, often historical things. They've got concept albums based on books like Brave New World, things like that. You know, like they have a whole concept album, yeah. That is Destiny. You know, you've got to go in and you've got to think about it while you're listening to it or interacting with it to get the most out of it. Call of Duty is fucking Nickelback. You know, like, what would you rather? Like, fair enough, if you want to go and you just like want to be look at this photograph. That's fine. You can do that. But for me, I'd rather invest my time in a game where I can continue to discover new things after I've played through the campaign once. That's my take.
Yeah.
Me too.
I agree.
And I also think that Kit Harington's got better things to be doing with his time than fucking acting in stupid video games. Get back to work on Game of Thrones, you fucking pretty motherfucker.
He's sexy.
Just on the off chance you watch this podcast. Good hair, good coat, get back to work.
Stop looking so confused.
Yeah, exactly. Cheer up a bit too. I mean, fucking hell. It's only the end of the fucking medieval world you're contending with. The other one that, do you have, I mean, I guess we've sort of already touched on Gamma Traps. Favorite piece of art in the Destiny universe, or favorite design of something, or what is just one thing that you look at and you think, fuck, that's cool. Have you got anything in that, for that, Matt? Like, is there something that you sort of keep coming back to and go, Jesus, that is just a breathtaking design, or a, I don't know, anything like that?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you play the game, you've got eyes, like, you know, invest.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I prepared for this answer of what takes my breath. Well, because I do look at a lot of concept art, because I often find images and screenshots for that. The Vault of Glass is a particularly cool area when the art. I do like those landscapes that they paint, and particularly like Atheon's throne. I think it would have been a really early on concept piece, and I enjoy that. I was looking through some art deviant pages. One of the guys that works at Bungie, I can't remember his name, but he had a bunch of concept art for what the Traveler was meant to look like. Mm-hmm. And he had some images with the Traveler open and ships going into it, and different sort of ways to sort of portray the Traveler. And I thought that was really cool too. So not one piece that really stands out that I can think of right now, but what I am interested in, and what I want to hear your thoughts on Gamma Trap. Like, how does it work with these concept artists? Do they literally sit down and paint for like 12 hours and then show it to the writing team?
That's trade secrets, I can't tell you.
Okay.
I'm fucking kidding. That's what they do. They get to work, right? They come in and they have a stand-up where they would all huddle around with their team leaders and directors, and they would say, okay, today we need to focus on this, 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 so-and-so, you're on that, so-and-so, you're on that, and they would split off and do the thing, and then a guy would sit down, and they would just start making, if it was a character design, for example, they would start up thinking of the, they go through the information they were given, like, oh, it's a timid character, bad posture, has... You know, and they would kind of use a little bit of psychology to figure, like, okay, how would they present themselves? Would they be confident? And they would, you know, obviously. And they would just paint the dude. And then they'll have to throw in a couple of hints for later on development. But they would start really rough, and they would do, like, an hour's worth of just random nasty sketches, totally muddy. And they would show their lead, and they'd be like, hey, is this the right direction? And they'd be like, yeah, I can. Or they would say, get rid of the hat or something like that. And they would give it back, and they'd sit down for three more hours, and then they'll paint up. You know, the rest of the person, and then they'd be like, okay, how's this outfit doing? Do you like these weapons? And you're like, yeah, do this, change that. And then they'll sit down for another 3 or 4 hours after lunch and break, whatever. And then they'll start making sort of the 3D elements. And a lot of them nowadays, especially the high-end AAA places, the artists also do a lot of the modeling, like the making the 3D. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, to do that, it makes painting really fast. Like you honestly, if I was up to me and I had gotten a drawn painted concept down of what I wanted a person to look like and it was okayed by my lead, then I would immediately start on a model, just a basic model of the guy, so that I can have a good 3D set, and that would help with lighting, and also give the actual model people who have to do all the anchoring and movement. Of the character reference, like, because if you give them a flat image, then they're just sitting there like, I guess this is a shoulder pad that sticks out, you know. So
yeah, right. Okay.
The concept artist has to have to kind of get everything ready And they would also like inform like, hey, on the back of the person's thing is this, and extends out to that. And they have to like tell all the arbitrary details of what the person's doing or wearing or using.
So like, yeah. Is that the dream, or does that just ruin your like passion to like, is it one of those things where you make, it'll be the same as like log being a musician or you being like an artist. When you do the, like the thing you're passionate about, like your hobby was once a hobby, you make it a job, does it become less enjoyable?
Not at all. No, fuck that.
I think it, so, it depends. It depends on how close initial dream is. I mean, for me, a lot of I was writing, performing my own music for a hell of a long time, so I loved it. But if, say, I could support myself professionally by playing in a cover band, or, you know, like of Nickelback, just to bring back a recurring theme, I probably wouldn't be so impressed, you know? Like, it'd be like, yeah, okay, I get to do my dream, but it kind of sucks ass. I think how much free rein you were given and how much you can invest yourself into it is the key.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Like, my personal dream with this whole art stuff is actually just to stay home and support myself with a painting. I don't want to go work. Yeah. I don't want to go work somewhere that I'll be forced to sit at my desk.
Yeah.
For hours on end. It's really rewarding to think about, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you would help build a world. Like, there's a great concept artist who, Eitan Zana, he's worked on Uncharted, and they snatched him right out of school, which is rare as hell, because usually you have to have, like, a following, and they have to hunt you down and find you, these like, AAA titles, and they'll have,
really?
They'll have people, yeah, they'll have scouters whose entire job is to look through social media and all these things, and ArtStation and DeviantArt, and they would find these people with talent and skill and drive and fans. They are almost already have to be established. And so then they'll send them a letter, and they usually have to try a few times, because if it's someplace like Blizzard or Naughty Dog or something like that, it's like, yes, no, it's really us. We're not fucking with you. But
that old chestnut.
But then, you know, it's a hardcore commitment. Like, most of these major AAA things, like, I'm sure we've all heard, like, horror stories with Bungie and how they work their dev teams and whatnot. Oh, yeah. Or am I the only one who's actually looking
for that? No, I can hear some horror stories. I don't know of those horror stories.
Oh, like, just some basic stuff is when they want to, when they have a title they want to push, they need to push out for, you know, for the ching, they'll strap their people in and like hold them hostage in a sense and not let them like go see their families. Like, they'll mandatory or you're fired, like 13-hour days, and they'll just push them like slaves essentially. So you really need to love this industry and love what you do and feel that sense of pride every time you walk your own character, whenever you get a goddamn chance to play the game, through the world.
Mm.
And so,
but I think people sort of understand that, right? Like, when, like, for you guys going into the game industry, like, you know that when it comes time where that game has to, like, the release date, you know you're not going to see your family for a week there, you know, or longer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part and parcel. It's like, yeah. It sucks. It's a shame, but it's a reality. It's deadlines, man. That's business.
It's like any business, really. That happens in every. You know, you would tell me the same thing, Gamma Trap. You work in printing, right?
Mm-hmm. So screen print.
And you have peak times where you're expected to be at work and you expect to be pushing out content and doing what you do. And other times it gets quiet.
One day off a month. Yeah, that was awesome.
One day a month. And you were making your content at the same time, Matt.
Damn straight. For free.
Damn.
For free, exactly. For love.
That's why we got to get Mr. Gamma Trap some following.
So absolutely.
So he can make this job.
I think so. So he can just do speed drawings every day for as long as he feels like it. Puts it up on YouTube. Everyone watch it. Click the fuck out of it.
Oh, that's the dream.
Just put huge boobs in it. That'll get the viewers in.
There we go.
Yeah, why don't you start drawing those kind of...
Yeah, just draw everything for Mylan from now on has to have a huge set of boobs in it.
I don't know if I'm the only person that has seen this, but Mylan, when you asked me to do that Omnigul painting, yes. I had to look up fucking pictures of Omnigul, right? And you know the fucking internet being what it is.
Oh, dude, I don't even know if I want to hear the end of this.
I don't want to remember.
Mate, if you think you've seen some things with Omnigul, just look up Mara Solf, Queen of the Reef.
Oh, Jesus.
No, there's a difference. All right, Marasov.
Yeah, not bad to look
at. I wouldn't mind at all. Little eerie, little creepy. All that eye contact and shit. But, like, Omnigul with, like, massive tits. Leaning over a table invitingly.
I've got in chat three-breasted Martian hooker is in the YouTube chat at the moment.
Good. I mean, you've come to the right place.
Hey.
Yep.
This was a good one for the only person's fucking face on the whole stream to be mine. Because I'm just sitting here just shaking my head. Just, oh my god.
Not talking about Omnigul's tits.
Yeah, yeah.
Scream, though.
Pretty much. Oh, dude. Yeah. Anyway, let's just digress. But, I mean, that is a surefire business strategy. Tits on everything. It worked for anime.
And now we've done full loop back to the clickbait.
Yes. Look at that. Right. We're tying it all back. That and Nickelback, the two themes of the day.
We've tied it all back in.
So there's not a whole heap else that we wanted to, that I had down to cover. Really, I mean, I guess the other thing on a design perspective that I've kind of been umming and ahhing about is whether in Destiny 2 that they need to introduce new unit types or unit designs to keep it fresh. I mean, how do you guys feel about that? Like, I mean, would you be happy going into another game that had no new units, effectively the same?
I'd be very unhappy with Destiny 2 having the no new units. I'll be very, very unhappy.
So there would be considerable lore expansion just on that front, you'd think.
So no new units, but like a ton of new lore, like on the ones we've got.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. When you think about it, you think about like just the lore that's relative to a Vex Hobgoblin. You know, there's cards of, you know, describing what they are, what they do, all of that.
Man, I'm scared. I'm scared because they've got so much ground to cover on the foundational units at the moment.
Yeah.
And I want them to cover that, but I want to see some new stuff.
Yeah, but you're already sick of killing them, so you'd be happy for them to go as well. Yeah.
How do they introduce a whole new unit that's not in Destiny 1?
I don't know.
The universe is already there. They've already established this universe. Someone's got to come in from out of... Like, I get that we can have the Cabal expansion. We've still got tons of Mortal Land on the Hive and the Vex and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm interested and scared to see how they're going to add new enemy races in Destiny 2. Because I think they have to. I think people put the game down. We've been shooting the same bad dudes. Just think of a logistical point of view. We've been shooting the same bad dudes for 3 years.
Oh, dude, yeah. And even, like, I kind of get Jack of the whole, you're going to face a new enemy that's just the same enemy again, but a bit different. It's just the Taken. They look the same, except they're shiny. You know, like, they do different things. It feels a bit cheap.
What did they do in Halo? What happened in Halo?
Halo's a funny one in that... Enemies. Yeah, they have. I mean, they've added the Prometheans and whatnot. Sort of once 343 Studios took over, they were never there for the Bungie. But Halo is kind of a funny one in that different Halo iterations, and you've got to remember that it's, you know, the Halo story goes for what, maybe 4 or 5 hours each game, if that, depending on how quickly you blast through it. So there's not that much, you know, there's no huge lore behind it aside from in books and things like that. So they kind of, each different iteration, they would focus on a different thing. You know, like the first one was, you know, it was pretty flood heavy. The second one was, you know, it was much about the elites and things like that. The elite and brutes sort of trading off against each other. So effectively, to put it in like Destiny terms, the Fallen and the Cabal, you know, they're two like sort of rumbling factions there. The third one, the elites, well, some of the elites have allied with the humans, and then basically the flood come back into it. So it's kind of, they were never all there as a constant, where in Destiny it kind of seems that way. at least now, like there's, you can go to a certain place and fight them all the time, or there's this strike and that strike and this strike. I think Destiny by its nature is kind of trapped in, they have to keep everything there and like present, because otherwise it seems like they're not there at all. But I don't know. It's a hard one. I mean, you can't, I mean, visually you can compare it all to Halo. I mean, it's some pretty direct comparisons between the Hive and the Wajimis that I was just talking about. Jesus, I just don't. Yeah, the Flood, sorry. Just complete mental blank. I'm turning into Sloth. It's fucking worrying. Yeah, the Fallen and the Elites, like, yeah.
They would have to drop big stuff, and like YouTube chat is saying like Kara and Dragons and stuff. And you know, I sort of agree with that. If they drop some big bombshells, I think some of the lack of new enemies could be forgiven. Like if we get a dragon, I don't care what I'm shooting at. If I see a dragon, like, take my money. I just throw it at the screen, man. Like, I'll buy as many microtransactions as possible to fund that shit. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I think we've got everyone talking, so I might open up the old chat window and we'll get that in there. If you're on Mylan's YouTube and you want to get involved and have your chat immortalized forever on a YouTube video that not many people will watch, jump over into the Twitch. I'm sure he'll share the link now. And that's where the chat's captured from. I'm not, you know, we could go all out and get it all merged, but that's just a pain in the ass. Yeah, I am but a man, contrary to popular belief.
I'll pop it in the chat. And if you would like to go over to Twitch and have your questions featured, you can do that.
But I think that's one of those things that we kind of, like, I'm interested to see how it all pans out. Because you're right, like, logistically and at base level, I don't want to be at a point where I've been shooting the same dudes for fucking 5 years. I'll be over it. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I find it hard to, like, they can't add like a whole 4 new enemies for every friggin' race. There'd be thousands, you know? Like, how do they keep the stuff and the lore that they've already created relevant if they do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm nervous, excited. Nervous and excited. Hey, there's one other thing that we can chat while we get some questions coming in.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I saw Dado made a video, actually, a little bit of a rebuttal to all the hype about old raids returning. And it brings up some really good points, actually, and things that I would be definitely put on the list of the reasons why it wouldn't be returning. Things like elemental weapons returning. Would they bother to upgrade the armor and weapons and all that kind of stuff? And I think one of the major points is, like, would they put resources and time to making the old raids relevant again? And you look at all the way that the old raids function with the materials you gain, the ascended materials. There's just so much redundancy, I guess, in the raids, at the old raids at the moment, Vulcan Credit particularly, that it might work against them. But I guess all of those rebuttals, I think, comes down to Destiny just going, bugger it, we'll do it anyway. Like, people don't care. And I almost think they could do that. I'm just going to go, you know what, you're still going to get Ascendant Shards, but you can't use it for anything. Or they might just go, you know what, we don't care that you've got primary elementals now, because it's a couple months and Destiny 2 is coming out. Like, I'm interested to see what they do with that. I always feel like they'll be like, nah, stuff it, you'll get them anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, everyone's coming into this, oh, they need a reason, all that. I've been of the whole, just fucking flip the switch for months now. Like, it's more content, it'll see through. You know, we're not going to be, it's not a 2 year thing, you know, like, it's 6 months that it'll effectively see us through. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah. See, I sort of agree with you now, though. I sort of agree with that. It's not a huge deal. Well, it is a huge deal, but I just think they could do it from a, we've seen them do dodgy stuff before just to keep the player base. I think there's enough of an appeal from a player base to outweigh any sort of lore reason or mechanical reason to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even need to justify it, but they can, and there's plenty of ways that they can, given you can do nearly anything you want when you've got fucking time-traveling robots in your franchise, so just figure it out.
Well, that's it. Someone's put here, yeah, just, you know, time travel and we got multiverse, or maybe we go into another multiverse and we get a whole new set of enemies. And I just keep a couple of them.
Be off. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how big of a production it is. I mean, we're going to have like a million Grimoire cards by the end of the franchise.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to know what I want to know what they haven't done? Why don't they just bring out a book that is just a book of Grimoire cards?
Like, why? I totally would buy it.
Oh, fuck, I'd have it.
That'd be incredible.
Oh, I know.
I want the actual physical cards.
Yeah, or like a deck of cards.
Like comes to you in a box, little chest, looks like a little loot crate thing.
Dude, or a loot cache. Sign me up. Why not? Why is that not happening? I don't know. Quick question for Gamma. What is the inspiration by what you're painting right now?
Yeah. Tell us.
It is... You know, it's just some fucking shit I do. I don't know. It's just a painting of, a fiery scene, probably post-battle. They're two guys talking. But it's based off a style of art from a guy I really, really dig. It's Dominic Mayer. He's also a speed painter, and he loves flags. He's got like a fetish for flags in his paintings, so I just kind of gave him a little nod like that. So if he ever sees it, dude, props, all right? Respect. Anyway, but I threw a flag in there just for him.
I think it's good. I don't think there are enough flags in Destiny. I think there should be more flags.
Do you know what that flag reminds me of? It reminds me of that game Bannerfall. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Look, the vibe I'm getting. Someone said Siva before. I'm getting the whole Siva apocalypse vibe from this, with a little bit of a Grim Reaper vibe from that dude walking along with his flag.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, he looks. I don't know if I trust him.
It's really up to the person, really.
Yeah, it's all in the eye of the beholder.
The Guardian looks like an 8-bit mm-hmm. Guardian. He's got the whole like 8-bit style going on.
Oh yeah.
It's a Titan for sure. It is a Titan, isn't it?
That is definitely a Titan.
It is a warlock, man. Yeah, he's got the horn coming out of the side of his head.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper dude. He's I guess he's kind of warlocky. I don't know.
Hey, but is this something we could give away to everyone who's joined today to remember this stream?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, if you happen to watch, we'll disseminate it via Twitter. It's probably the easiest way to get to everyone. If you don't have Twitter, probably get Twitter. That's really my suggestions. It's a hard thing to do we'll get links, high definition links or something, and we'll work it out over the next day or so.
The Destiny Down on the podcast Twitter, right? I'll probably retweet it.
Yeah, I'll retweet it. Don't follow me unless you just want rubbish about heavy metal and yelling at goth.
Right, there you go, guys.
I'm gonna it'll be my wallpaper. You can watch art transform and form up in front of your eyes if you're ignoring me, which you should be doing. Maybe next time we'll do it in the bigger box. Maybe. All right, I think we've got a few questions here now, man. I think we've got a few questions. We should probably start answering them before they start disappearing off the top of the screen. Spoons asked one that I'm not even going to read because it's if me or you are ever going to make a Destiny metal album. Yeah, no, Matt, you're going to sing. You're going to sing, Matt. Just scream and carry on.
Dude.
Or you could just speak.
The most hardcore music you've ever heard.
Speak in, like, your lore voice over the top of just riffs and explain things to people. I'll have to dig it out. I'll have to dig it out, but I actually started this dumbass side project with a mate of mine years and years ago where we'd go and we'd get like David Attenborough's voice from documentaries and shit and structure songs out of it. And he'd just be there like narrating like baboons or whatever. And there'd just be like riffs and stuff behind it. And he'd be like, and here, over the top. We could do that. Oh, misspent youth. All right, what do we got?
I'm just having a quick look at any questions over on the YouTubes as well.
Mylan gangster rapping. Yeah, righto. Confirmed. Oh, God. I'm just reading so slow today. Yeah, I think Sardos is raises a valid point that probably if we do see more of the Cabal, we'll end up seeing different units anyway because they'll be closer to the Emperor. You know, like there will be. I mean, if, but they're going to be effectively the same thing, the same race, the same species.
Yeah, well, they could add something like similar to the Scions, which are just sort of a whole unit bolted onto it. Gangster Marlin.
Oh, all right, Keg's got a good one here. And don't know that. Don't know that guy at all. Gangster Marlin. Do you think there could be a surprise event that leads up to Destiny 2, e.g. Lysander returns, causing unrest, leads to us leaving Earth and heading into the stars to find a new place for mankind? Personally, I don't think it'll be that drastic, but I think that there's every chance that we will see something. I don't know whether it'll be before Destiny 2. I'd love to see some kind of lead-in event that leads to the launch of Destiny 2, but...
Yeah, I think they could do that. They sort of did that with our sector, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They sort of did that with our sector. I would be really happy. Our sector was underappreciated by a lot of people. That was actually terribly good, our sector, what they did with it. For people that don't know, just before Rise of Iron came out, they infected a Twitch streamer, Shane Oda Rage, right? He was patient zero. And it was an ARG that basically spread this infection around and actually had a lore point of view too. If you don't know, those infections were actually the first iteration of SIVA that we were infected with. And they actually had a whole bunch of lore that was introduced each day. And for those who followed along, it made a ton of sense when actually Rise of Iron came out. And it also has a ton of lore in the background still that we potentially are still infected with those SIVA mites that was first introduced just prior to Rise of Iron. So what's Log saying is it'd be cool to have some sort of lead-in. I would love to see some mini event that happens before Destiny 2, whether it's a tower falling or something crazy like that happening. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, and I think, if anything, like the Lysander event, all the hints to Lysander... That have been sort of spoon fed to us through the course of, you know, the dawning. I think that it definitely lends itself towards it because, you know, you could have, yeah, he comes in and starts causing unrest in the tower. You know, fair enough, maybe people are driven out of the tower. Significant figures that we've known through the length of the story, the speaker, Zavala, anyone could be driven from the tower and then the tower is attacked or whatever. And then we're outside the tower fighting our way in. Say it's the Cabal or whatever have besieged the tower, and we could be fighting. It's, you know, it's a new different story. I don't know, I'm just making this shit up as I go, but it definitely opens itself up. I mean, I don't know, I want to see what this Lysander stuff's all about, because I don't know, the bit that's sort of always been hard to swallow for me with Destiny is that you kind of live in this little utopia, yet everything else is going to shit. You know, the tower is like, oh yeah, look at everything, it's pretty, but there's this gritty looking city down the bottom, and that's really where I want to get to. That's where I want to, you know, what's happening city. On the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my take.
Good. I agree.
I did not know Say No to Rage was patient zero. I did not know that. Patient zero. That is fucking cool, and that'll live on for forever. That'll always be part of Destiny sort of folklore, hey?
Well, so what they did is someone with Owl Sector as their Twitch handle came into his stream and said, like, I can't remember exactly what they said. They said something like, you've been infected or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever that little sentence was, stay calm, Guardians. That was cool. Everyone was freaking out, like, what? And then all of a sudden you have these, like, SIVA mites, like, buzzing about your head. You're like, what? Yeah. What is going on? Like, and then when you joined with people, then they got infected too if they did certain stuff. So it was actually really cool. I think that would be a great way to get into Destiny 2.
Any kind of lead-in event. Sardar says there were multiple patient zeros. Good on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they probably started it in a few different places, I imagine.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
All three, yeah, don't three-breasted Martian Hooker. Literally, all I want is Destiny Hearthfire. Well, you want to build your own house in Destiny. I'd do that.
House building.
Yeah, why not? Take a break from fighting the bad guys and just do a bit of homemaking.
Yeah, I'll just report from YouTube chat. Yeah, not much going on over here. We've got lots of chat, but not many questions coming in.
Right, I'll get them both open anyway. Gamma, are you going to release more shirt designs? If so, what's the time frame on that?
I just did that one today. For you guys.
The Gangsta Marlon one.
Gangsta Marlon shirt.
No, the G'day.
Yeah, the Aussie Hunter.
Hunter.
That's unreal.
That's a real thing? We can actually get that?
I work in printing shirts. So when I make a shirt design, I can print it.
That is unreal. Yeah,
that's cool, man.
But you'd have to talk to Bungie.
So what happens there? Like, do they can you get your stuff taken down because it's got Bungie logos on it and that?
Yeah.
But how does it work? Like, Twitch streamers do it all the time. Twitch streamers make whole T-shirts and jumper giveaways and stuff like that with Bungie, you know, Guardians on there and Ghosts on there and all sorts of stuff. How do they get away with it?
Well, there's two ways. The first way is when you speak to the Bungie representatives, you present it in a way that's sort of like, this is advertising, and it's you know, I had the art made from scratch, so it's technically not, you know, and you can try and weasel it that way. And there's step two,
just don't tell them. Dude, just put our logo on it. Put our logo on it and fucking we'll cop it. I'll take it to them. Don't worry about it.
No, but surely the guys on Twitch and that don't contact Bungie and get approval for their streaming shirts. They're
no
like
way.
50, you know.
No way.
Look, you know what? When I get to 100,000, I'll make that my T-shirt.
Yeah, right. Let's push.
Oh yeah, you hit 80, just recently.
I hit 80,000 a couple days ago.
If you would like to see Mylan get sued, subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Oh man, I almost got you banned the other day from Twitch.
Oh my god.
Hell, what happened?
No, he was just playing ball with his friends, you know? Or not ball. What was it? What were you playing? What was that? And I was like, I started inciting gambling.
Oh. Was it Total War that I was playing that?
It was I think it was you know, we started just, you're like, all right, one for I win, zero, two for
all
they
for
win.
Gambling with gambling, yeah.
Yeah, and I was all like, right. All right, there we go.
Yeah. The Narded Gamer says, Marlon, what do you think about Fallen and Destiny 2? Yeah, I saw some of your chat before, Narded Gamer. I think it'll be House of Kings. If they introduce anything with the Fallen and Destiny 2, it'll be House of Kings. That's my thought.
I think so too. I mean, it can be fleshed out. It's still there. It's not being explored probably, but I mean, as we've discussed a couple of times on the cast already, I really think that we're going to, in some capacity, ally with them. I think that'll be the way it goes.
Yeah.
Where are we? Convinced Eris will turn evil. I'm convinced Eris will turn evil.
Are you?
I don't. No, I'm not. I'm reading that off the thing. Sorry, I didn't make that clear. Sorry, Commander C2121 is convinced.
No, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
No. Nope. We'll see other characters. Osiris will probably come. I think Osiris will make an appearance in Destiny 2.
Absolutely.
Like an actual appearance.
I think so. Yeah, I think he'll turn up, and I think there's half a chance of Toland as well.
Yeah, half a chance. I'll give half a chance to Toland too.
It depends. I mean, I don't know. I mean, with that whole him talking about the power vacuum and all that sort of shit, part of me thinks that he's just being a bit of a poo and just, like, not happy that the sort of figurehead of the race that he's been studying for so long or whatever has been killed. But part of me wants him to sort of take up the mantle and we have to fight this turned guardian down the line.
That'd be cool.
That'd be fucking unreal. Whether we fight him, like, physically or not, I don't care. It's just knowing that someone that knows you is on the other side of the fence and pushing, you know, back. I think that's unreal.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Love to see that. Michelle.
Righto. Well, I mean, if there's anyone, I'll give it another minute or so for any pressing questions that anyone wants answered, but we might wrap up.
I reckon we wrap up, man. I reckon we wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. If we're here every week, if you've got anything really important, tweet us or just wait. Fuck it.
Because I can see Gamma Trap slowly ruining his painting.
I don't know. I reckon it's getting cooler, but we'll definitely get a high definition copy of whatever it is. Well, however it ends up at the end, it'll be on the Twitter. We'll Gamma Trap will be all over it. We'll share everything that we get from him. And
I'll just keep it like this. I'm done. Right. If I leave it here, I'm just gonna keep tinkering with it. It'll either look really awesome or like
stop touching it. And maybe we'll have one that doesn't say Gangsta Marlin on there for you.
Oh,
I can take it off if you want.
No, that's part of it. That's it. That's it.
That's right there. I had to immortalize that moment because if you weren't here, you don't get it.
Yeah, I know. We might take that off, though, just because people won't get it. I'm with Matt. I didn't think games. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to roll the music. And from all of us here, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure catching up. Thanks for coming on, Gamma Trap. It's been wonderful to talk, sort of get a fresh perspective on things. It's been a pleasure.
I'm honored to be invited.
Yeah. You got anything?
Go check out Gamma Trap on YouTube. I've got his link in my my description right now.
If they want to get at you, man, where can they find you? Your own website, gammatrap.com?
You can contact me through there if you want to. You can subscribe to my newsletter on there. You can also go to my YouTube, which is just Gamma Trap, or on Twitter, it's @TheGammaTrap, because there's already a Gamma Trap. Also on Instagram. I'm actually big on Instagram. That's just Gamma Trap.
Outstanding.
He's a big dude.
I'm
kind of a big deal.
He's kind of a big deal on Instagram.
No.
We've got an Instagram. Actually, that's a good idea for a plug. Follow us on Instagram. We do have an Instagram because Keg runs it. So there you go. Go and get on it.
Right. I didn't even know we had an Instagram.
We do. We do.
Found it the other day.
Fantastic. It's been maintained. Matt, you, everyone knows where to find you and me.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We'll be around. I'll be streaming tonight if anyone's on Australian time. But rock and roll. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.